With Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
You know, I saw Mars Attacks. The opportunity to participate in a CE3 event might be all right, but I'm not sure it's a good idea for somebody from Perump. Once again, Major Ed Dames. Ed, welcome back. I want you to get a plug in for your website and anything else you want to plug. We do that for all our guests as a sort of a thank you for coming on. I know, I guess it's www.learnrv.com, and the RV is in capitals. Is that right?
It doesn't matter.
It shouldn't matter.
I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. And remote viewing is really gaining a foothold in society now. The PlayStation games use remote viewing as one of the so-called powers for the players.
And right.
Suspect Zero, the feature film, that was the first time the term remote viewing was used in the feature film. So it's gaining a foothold. And I encourage people to learn this. I teach it along with my professionals. The advanced training is all free. Online, and we're there every day. The DVDs are for sale, and it teaches you all the fundamentals of remote viewing, so they can order it through learnrv.com, or they can call a toll-free number and buy either the beginning DVD or the entire set.
Okay, what is the people like toll-free numbers? What is it?
1-866-607-8439.
Okay, I've got 866-607-8439, and there they can order what?
They can order the Learn RV DVD set. It's the one of a kind, the best RV instruction in the industry. I started the industry 20 years ago, so these are a set of DVDs that teach you all the fundamentals from the ground up. And then all of your questions are answered in my classroom online. All that training is free, and including the advanced training. It's one-on-one instruction, and it's near real time. And I have 7 professionals in there as well as myself.
All right. Let's go to the phones. I had a lot of people with questions. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Art, thank you for taking my call. And Major Dames was very fascinating to me. I was curious, could you elaborate on any more events that you have viewed for this year particularly?
All right, it is a fair question. Of course, he just added the volcano, which is on the website, and you can look at it right now. And he just had what many call a hit with the earthquake. Any more events? Of course, we've got... Well, actually, you've already given us two, and they are the CE3 event coming in August, and then, of course, the more negative November, December, beginning of the end, the sky is falling event.
Yeah, as my nom de guerre suggests, Dr. Doom, I'm mostly interested in events where there's a large loss of human life. My intent there is not to really scare, it's to attempt to save a few individuals who just might decide not to be in the office that day or take a vacation. However, having said that, there are a couple of my team members and I are forecasting a major economic collapse for the United States, and if that collapse is very abrupt, we may be able to put a date on it, and that date may be soon. So we're still working on that, however. That has nothing to do with loss of life except people jumping out of windows.
All right, but those are the major events that you see. You don't see, I mean, that's major enough, right?
Remember Y2K, when everybody was jumping up and down about that, and I told you over and over again, Art, it's going to be a non-event. Well, we used remote viewing to look at a non-event, Y2K.
You did. And that's what you said. Now, people would argue about the size of the event, and many would say, Ed, that a lot of things, because of the panic involved with Y2K, were prevented because they did the work ahead of time like they were supposed to when the panic started. So it was one that was prevented, or you can say didn't happen, but certainly a lot of programming work was done to damn well ensure it wouldn't happen.
Well, then we're dealing with a paradox.
Indeed, aren't we? Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Just spiffy.
Good deal. All right. Going back to the beginning of the show when you were talking about the EVP, I missed the Saturday show because I'm new to your show. But when Ed Dames went to remote viewing and he saw it as an abortion.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the Christianity, the abortion picket lines type scenario. Is that, could that not be a significant calling that abortions is life, actually, that they are really taking from moment of conception?
Well, of course it could. I would certainly look at it that way. That is the essence of what you're saying, isn't it? In other words, if this was the aborted child crying out in some way that we certainly don't understand, that would be indicative of the fact that it was in fact life, intelligence, consciousness, all the things that we worry it might be when we do these things, right?
You're darn right. In that case, it would, which is very nonplussing to me. I mean, I was figuring, okay, we've got the beginning of nascent life here, but now this for me, it sheds a whole new light on the phenomenon and the act itself. Mm-hmm. A whole new light.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Morning.
Good evening, gentlemen. I consider myself generally a skeptic with a certain caveat. You two gentlemen touched on the parallel between angelic and extraterrestrial.
That's right.
I'd like to take that same concept and apply it to remote viewing. In the Bible, you have great prophets like John, Daniel, and Elijah. None of these men considered themselves to have any gift. In other words, everything that they saw, everything that was, it was revealed to them through God. And also, when Jesus was doing his ministry, when he was on earth, there was these two gentlemen that had an employee, and she was a psychic. And he touched her and healed her, and these two gentlemen went to like small claims court or whatever and wanted to get money from them because the lady no longer had the ability to do those things. And so I'm saying no one person, I believe, can learn or develop the ability to do that. And also, if
all right, well, hold it, too much at once. That's a direct challenge to the whole concept of learn RV. So, Ed, why don't you respond to that? No person can learn that.
This is a skill, and it has nothing to do with the spirit. It's totally a mind skill, and what you do with it is up to you, totally up to you. I do not teach ethics. I teach remote viewing, which is not revelation. It is an information collection skill via the unconscious. We are not prophets, And we're not even psychics. This is simply a cognitive skill.
Do you see any parallel between the prophets, for example, the ones he named, biblically, and the ability to remote view? Any connection?
No, I don't. Because their prophecy was a result of revelation. Something anointed their eyes, and that's certainly not the case with mine. Nobody's been around to anoint my eyes. I had to work my butt off to do what we do. So there isn't any connection.
All right, fair answer.
And by the way, I'm a Christian, so...
I can tell. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Ed Dames, Christian.
Is that me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Art, and hi, Ed. The cognitive brain is awesome, isn't it? I was just wondering, do you know that we pick the baby... at time of conception or just before that, picks their own mother. And I was just wondering if you knew that.
Huh, good question. Ed, there are many, many, many who believe that children actually pick their parents.
I don't know, Art. I've heard that, of course, many times, but I simply don't know. I'm a very simple man, and I do not know.
Okay, fair enough. International Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I've done not a lot of reading about Tesla, but the electromagnetic theory and time travel, and also through space to other planets. And I just wondered if Ed had read, like the Monarch Project, of course, which is similar to the Philadelphia Experiment, and a book that I think Ed would be very interested in reading called Flying Saucers Have Landed by Desmond Leslie and George Adaminsky. And they go into detail about how the pyramids were lifted and, of course, ETs, and they have pictures, and they've actually talked to a Venetian.
Do you have a specific question, sir?
Well, yes, actually. He said that I just wondered if he had read these articles.
Okay. That is the question, Ed.
Yeah, I'm familiar with all that work. My emphasis is on replicability and meeting the criteria of the Western scientific method, which unfortunately we have to meet. That's replicability. If we have to be able to do the same thing every time and be in control of it, and in the case of ETs, we're going to have to be able to photograph that and interact with it on call in order for science and the public to really accept it. Otherwise, it's just our word against somebody else's.
I've been wondering a lot about that lately. In this day and age of being able to morph anything into photography, I'm not even sure the level of proof that it would take. I mean, if you had a number of credible witnesses and even pictures, Ed, I'm not sure in this modern day and age that people would believe, that that would be sufficient for people to believe.
You need material from somewhere else. Going to have to be material. I agree.
Yeah, and I guess the examination they do is going to have to show it's off-world material, and even then, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. It will be. I guarantee it.
We really live in a very strange day and age, Ed, where people just are prepared to disbelieve everything. Put in front of them, proven it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but there are ways. I mean, for instance, if you can demonstrate real time that you've moved something from Earth to Mars and it can be observed from this planet using scientific tools, that's the kind of thing that will probably have to happen.
All right, first time caller line, you're on the air with Major Dames. Hi.
Hi, Alan Helsley, Bentonville, Arkansas. I'm selling the life after death thing.
Yes.
Have you ever considered auras into that? Like if you take a leaf and you cut part of it off and they photograph the aura, the whole leaf still appears, the outline anyway, or a hand, you cut a finger off, you photograph the aura.
That's all true.
Yeah. Carillion photography. And so what that implies is that what I call a pre-quantum field, that's my name for it, a pre-quantum field, where you have a pattern that is just prior to light. It's in another, let's say, another dimension, for lack of a better word. And that pattern is there, and then it manifests as light. But the pattern is there. I think Rupert Sheldrake would agree with me on this.
Right. So wouldn't that indicate life after death? Because if you eliminate part of something, that part has died, right?
It doesn't support life after death. It just supports the phenomenon as observed.
Yeah.
And to anything else is inference.
But what do you think that phenomena means. I mean, to cut off a part of a leaf or somebody's finger and then to still have the entire appendage appear in curly.
It means the pattern exists regardless of the material. It means the pattern, the template for that, whether it's a human being, a DNA, or a leaf, the pattern exists somewhere else that is, for all intents and purposes, invisible. And that the manifestation of the pattern is light and then matter, light, energy, matter.
Wow. All right. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Art.
Hi.
Major Dames, it's such a thrill to talk to you. You might know that Father Andrew Wingate told told George Norrie that heaven had said that Pope John Paul II was not actually going to die, but was going to go into exile.
Yes.
So I wonder if you know, is Pope John Paul really dead? And if you say he is, then do you know if in the next few years he is going to come back to life as himself?
Okay. I don't know why Father Wingate made that statement. And I don't know how he has, what statements he's made about that since, but my view is the Pope definitely died, and that's about it for me. And you have any comment, Ed? I don't know whether you caught that on the program.
Remote viewing has limitations, Art, and one of the limitations is when we deal with death and what is called in the vernacular continuity of consciousness, those ideas. A remote viewer can't grasp ideas that are beyond life because we're not programmed to apperceive the patterns that are associated apparently with those kinds of afterlife things. We have some evidence, but I won't get into that. So there we have no chain of custody on those
right.
kinds of ideas. The ideas are so totally beyond our ken.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi, yes. Can you tell me, in your opinion, would a meteor shower, if we had a meteor shower, do you feel it could make our atmosphere radioactive or poisoning to our existence as far as, with a meteor shower? You were talking about it a while ago. In other words...
He's been talking about a meteor shower, sir, that would be so serious it would force a shuttle down... possibly even the International Space Station,
right?
And it's a big marker to look at. So I guess, Ed, this caller is saying, well, could the meteors introduce some biological agent, or would there be further harm from them than just the meteors falling?
Actually, it's an interesting question because we do have remote viewing sessions to indicate there is something that happens to our atmosphere that is totally unprecedented, and yes, it does deal with some type of, for lack of a better word, poison, but it is not biological. And I don't understand the data, so I don't talk about things I don't understand.
Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hi, Ed. This is Tom in San Diego. I took your class 2 years ago, popsicles. But that class, it's kind of a use-it-or-lose-it type of thing. And last time you were on the air, you mentioned that you have new ways of teaching... using a method to reach coordinates and time. So I'm wondering, how would I restart your lessons?
The Learn RV DVDs. Go to learnrv.com. Look at the DVDs and all of that. And that is a heavy-duty, very comprehensive review of everything from the fundamentals all the way up through the beginning of the advanced stages. Look at those and see what you need to do in terms of which single DVD you need or whether you need to review the whole set.
All right. Well, I picked up on what he said that I thought was interesting, Ed. He said he took one of your classes, and it's a use-it-or-lose-it kind of proposition. Okay, well, from that, I conclude that he did learn how to do remote viewing.
Yeah, but it's like playing the piano or martial arts.
Exactly. And so the question was, do you lose it if you don't use it?
You bet. You have to resurrect the skills. It's like music. I'm not a musician, but I know enough about it to know that if you don't practice, you get really rusty.
Mm.
The best remote viewers are the ones that work the most, the correctly, work correctly. And there's a lot of schools out there that teach the wrong way.
So the skill sets can continue to improve with practice. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Our confidence level goes way up, way up. That's why people like me have no problem sitting down in front of a television camera. I'm doing this in Tokyo next month. They can give us any target we want as long as it's correctly ginned up, as long as the search term is correct, whether it's a missing child or an event or something like that, or what's broken on the subway. We have no problem sitting down, you know, and working the problem, coming, knowing that we'll get the right answer, especially with the more time we put on the target.
I've heard that young physicists, for example, have a very short shelf life of brilliance, that people in various fields, they use, you know, intellectual prowess, have a very short shelf life, and they have a very few years where they're really very, very good. And I wonder, just a quick answer, because we're coming up on the break, if that's true of RVing as well, that there's a sort of a few years of extreme ability, and then does it trail off, or does it keep getting better?
It keeps getting better.
If you keep practicing, it keeps getting better.
You go through the roof.
Wow. All right. My guest is Major Ed Dames, affectionately known by colleagues as Dr. Doom. And if you've been listening this morning, I'm sure by now you understand why that affectionate reference is used. I'm Art Bell.
With Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. What a pleasure to be with you. I am Art Bell, and Ed Dames is my guest, Major Ed Dames, the very controversial Ed Dames. And if you've been listening tonight, you know why. Once again, Major Ed Dames. Ed, is there anything in the program thus far that you wanted to cover that you haven't?
Nothing I can think of, Art.
All right. Well, lots of people want to talk to you. So, first time caller line, your turn with Major Ed Dames.
Me, sir.
Hello. Yes, you,
Hello.
Sir.
Hi. Mr. Bell, Mr. Dames, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dames, are you familiar with an author? I'm probably going to murder his name. Zachariah Sitchin, is that it?
Yeah, I am.
And the book, The 12th Planet.
I am.
All right. Do you see any kind of cosmic coincidence or whatnot of the year 2012, the planet Nairobi, the year 3760, our year zero, all of this combining into one big old thing in there.
Not to interrupt you too much, but I'm not wedded to the year of 2012, but I do agree with Dr. Sitchin on the Nibiru, the existence of Nibiru, and it does appear that there is a large passing space body, whether or not it's called Nibiru or not, that is going to have an extreme effect on this planet and has had at times in the past, depending on how close it's passed to Earth, coming and going.
But no connection to 2012. All right, caller?
Another question about our moon. I'm not familiar with the exact writings, but it is said that Plato once wrote of a time before the moon. Is it possible, in some crazy way, that the moon is actually like the original Death Star? I've heard the moon landings were fake, that the moon was hollow and radio waves were bounced off of it. In your opinion, sir, do you see any connection with the moon as a base for Greys, that are reptilians, whatever?
There's a lot of things on the moon, on the surface of the moon, and over the last 7 years or so on this show, I've broached some of those things. In fact, there has been activity by sentient machines on the moon for very long periods of time. In fact, things that were there upwards of a million years ago and left have left their trash behind. I'm not talking about the U.S. space program either. I'm saying that there have been things on the moon for a long, long time.
If that's true, is our government very much aware of it, NASA aware of it? Has all this information been held from us, Ed?
All right, I'm going to have to come to the conclusion that because I know the resolution of the Clementine missions, that there's no way they could not have seen what remote viewers have sketched in craters on the moon. There's just no way, because Clementine has covered virtually 98% of the surface of the moon. So they've got to be withholding it. The Air Force has to be withholding it, or pretending that they don't see it.
Either way.
Because some of this stuff is right on the surface.
Got it. Got it. And Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Hi. Hello, y'all. I just have a comment that might be insightful to what you said about the EVP thing.
Sure.
There is a scientist and a teacher of other doctors who taught at Yale University. He's got lots of credentials and lots of books out there. This book called Fields of Life, where he had a meter device or a measuring device that could measure the force field around a person. So if you were going to break your leg, let's say, and it's no time on the other side, you could be breaking your leg 2 or 3 days in advance. It would show up as an anomaly on this measuring device. Also, if a mother-to-be, were pregnant, it would show up as a second little force field floating in and out of the womb area. So sometimes it was in the womb, and sometimes it was in the force field of the mother. So whether we have life as the Catholics believe or as some other people believe, I just thought it would give you some insight. This book called Fields of Life by Harold Saxon Burr should be replicated, because science should be that way. The man who was on your show some weeks, months ago, Cleve Baxter.
Yes.
He is probably new, Harold Saxon Burr. And he is the one who taught the FBI about the lie detectors and how to do that. He has the same kinds of measuring devices. He'd be an excellent man to do that replicating.
Okay. So
I thought you would be interested in that.
I am. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Yes. Hi. I have two things to ask you. But first of all, let me say this first. First of all, I think we'd be pretty shallow to even consider that we're the only life form in space. For example, you take the ancient pyramids, I forgot how many thousands of years ago, carvings of the side of a man operating some kind of a craft with hand controls and things kind of the back.
Oh, yes.
Similar to a spacecraft. This is back before they even had as much as a hammer. So they had the idea for somewhere. But anyway, two things I want to ask was, one, in your opinion, because I do respect your opinion, you're very, very, pretty brave to come out in public with your things. Anyway, do you feel that we would recognize or extraterrestrial life if we saw it, or have we? As well as, does the government ever harassed you in any way about your opinions?
All right. Would we recognize extraterrestrial life? If it was very alien, obviously we would. Otherwise, it's a good question. Ed?
Well, if they're non-humanoid, we're going to, and they have weapons, we'll certainly recognize them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. All right. And on the second question, have you, it is a curious question, since you've left the employ of the government, Ed, have you ever been harassed by the government?
Actually, no. It's the other way around. I'm the keeper of the keys.
You've harassed the government.
No, I can harass them, yes. I'll tell you why. Because I'm the keeper of the keys. I own all the advanced technology that they gave up, and the last thing in the world they want to do is shut me down because they may need me really fast. Let's say the vice president gets kidnapped or something like that. They have nowhere else to turn, and I know wherever I speak because I've been at celestial levels of intelligence, and many of my friends are generals. So,
and you believe if the situation were dire enough, they would call upon you?
In a heartbeat.
Many wonder why then have they not called upon you with respect to Osama bin Laden?
That's another story. Osama bin, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not an emergency.
Well, it might be a political emergency, or yeah. it seems like it was. It's now seemingly more unimportant every day.
We would be called upon as a tactic of desperation, just like we were in the Sci-Spy unit when things got when no intelligence was available on a situation that was dire, then we would be called immediately.
In fact, I sort of would like to wonder in public why we're not searching harder, why there's not more pressure to find Osama bin Laden. It's kind of one of those things that it's been pushed to the very back burner. We haven't found him. Maybe that's the reason. We can't find him, and if we can't find him, then there's no point in having pressure about it. It'll just disturb people at the top.
And it gives us a reason to keep on keeping on, status quo pro ante.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Dames. Hi.
Good evening, Art Bell and Major Dames.
Good evening.
This is Suleiman. I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yes, sir.
Listening to you on CFUN, 1410 AM. And I want to let you know, Ed Dames, that I'm one of your greatest supporters. You have a lot of friends that really are not... have become knowledgeable in regards to the information that you've disseminated. And I'm from Los Angeles, and you would be shocked at the amount of Americans that are in British Columbia who listened to your information that you disseminated about a safe place to go to over a couple of years ago on the Art Bell Show.
You don't happen to be the son of a professor, do you?
No.
Okay, one of my students, a famous professor, had a son by your name.
Okay.
Continue, I'm sorry, Andrew.
I do have a title as World Event Psychic, and the reason why I'm calling you is that I had access to your tapes a couple of years ago. I applied it to my psychic abilities, and it enhanced those to the point that when Jessica Lunsford's case was initiated there in Florida, in the Citrus County, Florida, when she was kidnapped on February the 23rd, I'm the one that called on March the 5th in a conference call with someone who witnessed a call to Tara Smith, and I'm the one that gave the sheriff department the information where she was located, right across the street from where she was abducted, the man that did it, and that she was buried. And WFLA was going to do a story on me, and the sheriff department told me that my information was inconsequential, yet everything that they are now saying about the case, where she was buried, the man, and everything else, I gave them that particular information.
I actually remember that, and I know that that's the case. I've often said, especially in my classroom, my online classroom, you get somebody like yourself who's a natural psychic, naturally gifted. I can turn them into an all-star rather than just a professional if
right.
they toe the line.
Speaking of gifted individuals, and it's just only a little off topic, not much. Ed, have you seen the program Medium yet?
I don't watch television on it.
It's a program you should at least look at. Trust me. This is done so well. It takes all the hocus-pocus baloney out of it, and it's just done in such a human way that it's really worth your seeing if you decide to poke your face in front of the big tube one day. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
You know those sound machines that... you get the ocean and all that stuff from that you put?
Sure.
it. Well, I have one of those, and one morning I heard a voice coming out of it.
No, that's all right.
No, it was a human voice. It wasn't a spirit. It was a guy saying, "Can anybody hear me?" It was plugged into the wall.
You're kidding.
And I'm thinking, is that like a maybe a ham radio or somebody? So I turned it off. I didn't say anything. I didn't know what it was.
No, ma'am, it would not have been a ham radio operator. That would have been a CB-er.
Okay, well, also, I have heard spirits talking to me through the sound, the ocean thing I hear.
Well, actually, you're really on to something, Ed. It's just another delivery of a kind of a white noise, in a way, isn't it?
It's an audio output, and it uses and it's got an oscillator in it. In order for us to, as a remote viewer, in fact, anybody that's trained in this, even to an intermediate stage, my students could take a particular event. It would have to be a specific event, like, for instance, that one. Can anybody hear me event in connection with you and that device, and track it back, establish connectivity quite easily, and determine whether it was something ambiguous or enigmatic as opposed to a CB operator or somebody.
Well, yes, but still, it's generating a sound, and it could be modulated in the same way a radio signal coming out of a speaker or anything else could be, right?
Yes, but in my experience, RF it pulls it in better. RF oscillator pulls it in better than something on a sonic generator like that. However, it doesn't rule out because they're both electromagnetic in nature.
Absolutely,
they both have an EM field around them.
All right, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi. Hello. Hello. Going once. Going twice. International line. You're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Where are you calling from, please?
Paris, France.
Paris.
Oh, hello. How are you? I spoke with you about 2 weeks ago about the energy crisis. How are you?
I recall. Oh, God,
how
I love Paris.
Please indulge me. I've had the great opportunity of being able to correspond and speak with personally Joseph McMonagall. I'm sure Mr. Dames knows Joseph.
Yeah, Joe worked in the Sci-Spy unit and ran many,
yes, of course.
Many of the projects for me.
If you could indulge me, I'd like to share with you a letter that was written to Joseph McMonagall and his subsequent response to my letter. And I'm certainly not here to question your veracity or the credibility of your guest here, but I'd like to share, if you have a moment, I'd like to share a letter to him, which basically is only a synopsis of one of the remote viewing experiences I did have while I was...
Okay, but rather than reading two letters, sir, just give us the gist of it.
May I just... It's a lot easier. It's very short. It'll take up the same time as any guest.
All right, go.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, Joseph. I'm a Canadian living in Paris, France. Since being illuminated by the book Evolution's End by Joseph Chilton Pierce, I became aware of anomalies that occurred in my dream and semi-dream states. I wish to describe a few of these to you. I'll only describe one. When I was living in the French countryside, specifically in Burgundy, I had a strange dream. I must preface this experience by telling you that we did not have television, only a monitor to view films, and did not have direct access to the news. My wife was in Paris doing a photo shoot, and I was alone. In my dream, I was on a ferry crossing from mainland Australia to Hobart, the capital of Tasmania. That alone seems strange in retrospect. As I debarked at the port of Hobart, there was an outdoor cafe. It was very sunny, and there must have been between 20 and 30 people there. I looked into the eyes of several of the clients and felt profoundly the ambience of the environment. In the next scene, I saw a blood-drenched river filled with broken glass and debris. In the next scene, I was sobbing in the presence of the premier of Tasmania, who was a female. I said, "How could something like this happen here? Why? I don't understand. How is this possible?" I woke up with tears in my eyes. I thought, what a strange dream. I eventually just let it go as a nightmare. 2 days after the dream, my agent at the time, Meyer Hyman, called me from Paris. The first words that literally came out of his mouth were the following. "Did you hear what happened in Australia today?"
All right, sorry, we're running out of time.
Okay, basically, I received a letter from Joseph McMonagall, and he said the following. "As I've tried to explain in many of my books and writings, etc., there is probably no way to improve the ability, which is why I've always tried to stay away from the subject of training. When I get into it, all I ever do is piss people off. Evidence shows that the degree of skill usually demonstrated by someone walking in the door is about the level of skill that can be expected forever for that person. People who go around telling people that they can train them and make them better at being psychic or doing RV are simply lying to them.
All right. Hold
okay.
it right there.
Go into my class or my online class and look at the new student's work, and then you'll question both Joe and yourself. Take a look at the trained. These are new students who have walked in the door a while ago, a few weeks ago, who are now outperforming Joe McMonagle. And then reassess the letter.
Why do you think that Joe has that?
It's ego. It's all ego. I have one. He has one. But the problem is Joe is a natural psychic. He does not know how to train people to do what he does, and therefore he cannot. So he knows nothing about training, and he would not let me teach him. Because of ego.
Huh.
And I fired Joe from projects that I worked because he insisted on things that were not in the satellite photography that he said they were there. I said, Joe, if they're there, they're invisible.
Hmm. So, that's a pretty sharp disagreement that I was not aware of.
And I'd like to point out his first book, Mind Trek, in the interview in the back of the first edition, he was specifically asked, were you a remote viewer for the U.S. Army? He said, no. It's in the book, and he also said the U.S. Army did not have a program. On the second edition, when he saw that I did not go to prison, he changed. All of a sudden, he became a remote viewer, and the Army did have a program. That is speaking with a forked tongue.
A little disagreement there. First-time caller line, quick question for Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Yeah, the quick question. A few years ago, me and some friends were playing with the Ouija board. We asked if there was life after death, and it came up, phantoms fill the skies. That kind of put a goosebumps through me like I'm getting right now talking about it. And, you ever heard of cloud busting?
Well, already you've given us too much. Let's take up Ouija boards for a second, Ed. Most people view them as a portal to open, you know, doors that you might not want open. Do you view them that way? Is there something special about a Ouija board?
Oh yes, they're very special. They replicate a pattern, and they imply an intent. And mind is very powerful. And that particular pattern is something that is very interesting. Allegorically speaking, it's like shining a bright searchlight up into a very, very dark world where entities reside, and those entities you do not want coming down into your house.
All right, good
totally
enough.
Totally negative.
Right. Listen, we're out of time. Show's over. I do want to give out your 800 number again for materials that you can buy at LearnRV. It's learnrv.com or toll-free number 866-607-8439, correct?
Correct.
Okay, buddy. As always, thank you for being on the program. Thanks for the predictions. We'll all be watching like hawks, and I'll talk to you next time.
I'll see you with the gold.
Take care, my friend. Yeah, with the gold. That's right, the gold. Don't forget the gold. What a birthday present. Well, from the high desert till tomorrow night, I'm Art Bell. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. Magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you?